You want to learn? You want me to teach you this Bible stuff I was going to do today? Yeah, Romans 9, 1 through 13. Or, you know, I don't know. I've really been tore up here the last couple days and don't know what to say anymore. You know, because I had an intense week. Very intense. And so I don't know if I should talk about that or just do this Bible thing. So, and I don't know. What do you think I should do? Everybody wants to hear about the... Of course they do, because they don't want to hear about this Bible stuff. I mean, what's a good old-fashioned Bible study? Who cares about that, you know? How the Bible has blessed me? The Bible? Huh? The Word of God, okay. Yeah. When I was little, I used to sit on telephone books, New York telephone directory, and they blessed me because I could reach, because they were real thick, you know. But no, I don't know. You know, I'm really tore up because I don't know. Because sometimes I ask you for testimonies and nobody ever gives me one. I never get any testimonies around here, do I? Hardly. So heck with the Bible study. Let's do a testimony. You want? I know you could give a testimony. You could talk in a moment. You could talk in a storm, you know. And I never have a problem with you coming up here and talking anytime you want to. But you know what? I'm not up there right now. I'm down here with you. So I'm going to give you a testimony to you. Is that all right?
That's all right.
Yeah. These other people just have to listen, I guess. You know. Yeah. It's been a very intense week for me, Michael. Probably the most intense week of my life. I had to really go in intensive introspection of my whole life, and it was really hard, you know.
That's according to the scriptures.
What does it say in the scriptures?
It says that we are supposed to be able to look at ourselves and see if God is in us.
Yeah.
And you know, every once in a while, it does a person good to look inside and see if the love of God is there. If you are doing what it wants you to do.
Exactly. And that's what, when I accepted Jesus in my life, when was that? 1988. July 31st, I got baptized and I said, Lord, please forgive me of all my sins. Take them away. I turn my life over to you. I want to serve you. And for the next, what is this, 2009? 20... How many years is that? 21 years. I did exactly that. I tried to serve God the best I can. But I've been held back. There were walls and barriers that kept me back from doing that. And I didn't realize that they were there, or I knew that some of them were there, but I didn't realize how they affected me and how they kept me from doing what God wants me to do. You ever see a coal miner? Those movies in West Virginia, they come out of the coal mine and they're just covered with soot after a hard day's work. Well, they don't shine, do they? Because they got all this black soot on them. You know, and I used to have a principal in grade school, our principal, Mr. Froelich, at PS 203 in Brooklyn, New York. And he had a bald head. When he walked down the hall, when he walked down the hall, this guy was so bald. He was about as bald as you. I don't mean to do that. But look at John. It's shine. Look at his head. It just shines. Well, Mr. Froelich just shined, you know? And that light just came off of him. It was so awesome to see that. Sorry, babe. I'm getting there, too. You know, my daughter says, wear the kippah. It covers it up. But, you know, when you have that coal miner soot on you, that's not going to happen to your head, is it? If you worked in a coal mine, you'd come out, and it's blocking the light that needs to come off of you to go to other people. And yeah, I got saved, and I have that light in me. It's embodied in me somewhere, but I can't get it out because that soot has got me all covered. It's got me frozen, and it's just preventing me from beaming. Boy, you beam too. Your head. No problem. I'm just finding this out now, you know. Well, I don't usually come down here, do I?
No.
You know, I'm always back there, you know. People think, you know, well, he stands behind that barrier to protect himself. Yeah, and I do. I put up that barrier to protect myself from everybody. I have this defensive mechanisms in me that just keep me from doing that. And well, this week, I looked at all that. And I went back to my babyhood. I mean, when I was a little baby, before I was even old enough to even know what was going on, and I found out that I was in a war zone. In fact, the facilitator said that I was the worst, I had the worst childhood she had ever seen, and the worst upbringing, and she doesn't know how I survived it. And she saw what it did to me, and she was able to bring that out, and she was able for me to see what I was doing now because of that. In the thought that I was helping people, I was actually still hurting them because of my defensive mechanisms that I built, that soot that I put all over my body to not let the shining come out. I want to shine. I want to serve God. 21 years I've been working for God. And, I mean, I want to be His messenger. I want to do what He wants me to do. But that was holding me back. It's holding me back. It's holding us all back. We all have that in us. We have that wall, that soot. Yeah, we can ask for forgiveness, and God will forgive your sins. He'll forget the sins you did yesterday, the sins you did today, and the sins you're going to do tomorrow. They're gone, forever blotted out of His mind. But what about yours? What about, have you forgiven yourself of the sins? Have you forgiven yourself of the things that you did? Have you taken hold of yourself and given yourself love? Love your neighbor as yourself. How many of you actually love yourself? Look in the mirror and say, I love you because you are the most precious thing on earth to me. You are. They had this little baby. And I didn't bring him with me because I took it from her. And I have this little baby, little Nate, I call him. I named him. I was going to call him Dave, but little Nate sounded better. And I held him in my lap, and I held him close to me, and I said, he's been sitting there. Yeah, I got freed 21 years ago, but he's been sitting there for all those years, and now all of a sudden 21 more years, waiting for someone to grab him and say, I love you, and I'll be your dad, and I'll be your mom, and I'll be that special person in your life. He didn't have that. And because of that, he destroyed. He was a destructive little thing. He destroyed a lot of people's lives. He went all over the world just wreaking havoc. He was a tornado in whatever he did. He ruined people's lives. And yeah, he tries to atone for it. He tries to make up for it. But he's still got those walls, those mechanisms. And he's got to get rid of them. And I guess the first way you solve problems is to recognize that you have them. You know, and you can't work on a solution to something unless you know there's a problem. And when you don't realize what you're doing, well, things get rough. And so the world is a very bad place right now. It's getting darker and darker and darker every day, isn't it? We read in the papers and we start to see the stuff that we're reading in the Bible, that book I was going to preach on today, but I didn't. We start to see how dark it's getting. Should we blame Obama for all those problems, or should we blame all the leaders of this world for all those problems? Should we blame the Congress for not, you know, trying to pass a health care bill because we won't take care of our own? What was the church supposed to do? Reflect the light of Jesus. Reflect Yeshua's light to the world. But how can we if we're coal miners coming out covered with soot? We got to get rid of the soot so the light of Yeshua can shine through. I blame the church for all the world's problems right now because we are not the representatives of that light in this world. We are here for a purpose. Do you think that you came to Adat HaTikvah Tzion this morning? If you've been here, is this some of you the first time? Some of you have been here before, but do you think when you came here that you came here because you didn't have nothing else to do and you were bored and you said, well, that looks like a good place to go, or I'm tired of watching cartoons, on Saturday morning, think I'll go to a church. No, you came here because God sent you here. God sent you here because He's got a job for you. You're here to work. You're not here to sit here and do Bible studies. I mean, it's great. We like doing Bible studies and learning His Word, and we read His Word, and we should do that. Not against that. I'm into head knowledge big time, believe me. I'm always learning stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not our purpose. That's not our purpose for our whole existence. The purpose for our whole existence is not to go into that kitchen and eat all that goodies you got there, is it? No. Is it? No. The purpose for our existence is to shine the light of Yeshua throughout the world, to be that beacon of hope for the rest of the world, because these are dark times, like I said. And those people, they're going to be looking for a place to go. They're going to be looking for people set apart. You know what it means to be holy? Holy means, the Hebrew word is kadosh, and it means set apart. You need to be set apart from everyone else so you can shine the light of Yeshua to the whole world. There's a whole group of people out there, the church, that's compromising with that world. I just heard that Lutheran pastors were let go because they stood up against their church when they wanted to let gays come through their churches. And so these pastors were fired. They were setting themselves apart. They were standing up for what's right. There's Jewish people out there who stand apart from others. They're Messianic Jews. And they say, no, the truth is this. Yeshua is the Messiah. And they're set apart. And because of that, they're kicked out, blown up in some cases. They're thrown out. In Israel, they're persecuted for their beliefs. But they are set apart. But now, we have to be set apart. We have to be that. We're not here on Saturday morning just so we can replace Sunday. We're not here on Saturday morning so you don't have to drive to a Jewish synagogue to get all this stuff. You don't need this stuff. This is just stuff. Who needs it? Bare your souls. Rip off your clothes, and not literally. That would be hard. Bare your souls to the world. Show them the light of Jesus, because that's what He put in you. Clean up the shower. Take a big shower. Let's all take a giant shower and get clean. Cleanse ourselves and put on our holy garments, the armor of Christ that Roger talks about. He showed you the armor when we dressed that Torah. Yeah. There it is. Put that on and show the world that we're different, that believers of Yeshua, I'd say Christians, if you want to call us Christians, that's fine. I call us believers of Yeshua who follow Him, are different than the rest of the world. We are set apart and we belong to something more than the world system. Yeah, it's nice to have houses and cars and video games. I mean, and we all do. And it's good to be materialistic to a degree, but don't let it take over your life. Don't let television take over your life. Don't let drugs or alcohol or eating or religion take over your life. But let Yeshua take over your life and let His light shine through you so that everyone else can see it, so that everyone else will know that there is hope. What is our middle name here? HaTikvah. What does that mean?
Hope.
The hope of Zion. Who is the hope of Zion? Not us. Yeshua is the hope of Zion. Amen. And if you're part of Zion, He is your hope. He is the great white, black, green, orange hope. Right? Amen. 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 Yeah, He is the one who is coming. And He's coming soon. And we need to be ready. And there's a whole bunch of people out there that are hurting. I mean, if I have all that soot, there was two other people in the room with me that had soot all over them, that had different soot than I did.
Yes, yes.
And there was another room down the hall that had a bunch of soot. And you know what I said when I first saw these people? They all look so normal. They all look fine. Y'all look fine to me when I see you come at me. You know what fine means? Fouled up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. You ever hear me say, when you say how you're doing. If I say fine, you know I'm having a bad day. I always say that when I'm not so good. When I'm good, I'll say great or awesome or excellent or outstanding. But when you hear me say fine, I'm having a hard day. Yeah, that's true. I've always done that. Yeah, fouled up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. Fine. Are you fine? No, I look at people and I think they've got it all together, and then I sit in the rooms with them and they're falling apart worse off than I'd ever seen. I said, wow, I didn't see that all in you. Because we put on this wall, this picture. Oh, I'm a beautiful person. I never thought I was, but I am. You know what they told me this week? I can sing, Dalma. Yeah. And she told me to tell you that I sing wonderful. And I got hired this morning, yeah, by the choir. No, I was put down for that. You know, and I started to accept it. Yeah, I can't sing. Yeah, I can sing. God said that I was very good when he made me, and I was wonderfully made. What did I do to that? How do I get back to that? I don't know. It's a struggle. It's not easy to do what I'm asking you to do. It is not easy to do all this. But I'm going to try, and I would hope that you would want to try with me, because we are a family. Yes, we are a mishpocha. Every one of you that are here didn't come here because you got bored with cartoons. You came here because God sent you here to be part of a family. You're a beachfront. You're the head of a new thing, D-Day. We always talk about landing on Omaha Beach. We're in Omaha. We always talk about D-Day and how the troops landed on Omaha Beach. They took a lot of casualties there, more than anywhere else. But we are here to be that beachhead, to secure that beachhead so that the Allies can come in and take over and get rid of the enemy. And Yeshua needs us. He needs you. He needs you. He needs you. He needs all of us to help him. And so I'm going to do my best to get myself to where I need to be. But I need you to promise, not to promise. Don't use that word around me, ever. Because all the promises I ever had were broken. But I need you to say to me that you're with me, that you're going to do that too, that you're going to try and get well. I know a lot of you have gone through Christ life. I call it Chai Mashiach, but now it's the ultimate journey. It is not Christ's life anymore. It is the ultimate journey. And we're on the ultimate journey, folks. Amen. Where are we going from here? Heaven? Jerusalem. Heaven's coming down here to live with us in Jerusalem. First, Denver. No. No, we're going to Jerusalem when Yeshua meets us. We're going to meet him in the clouds. So we're going to meet him in the clouds, and he's going to take us. That's where we're going. And so I need you all to go there with me. Because I don't want to be without my family. And so I'm taking 2 weeks off, and then we're going to have the Hanukkah party. And so then the next January starts the year 2010. And so when you take all those numbers, what do they add up to? Three. That sounds like a trinity to me. So let's see what we can do. I would ask you to think and mull this over and pray about it, and just think about how we can do all this, how we can be that light for Yeshua, how we can be that light for Omaha, how we can be that light for the world. Amen. Here at Adat HaTikvah, the Hope of Zion congregation in Omaha, Nebraska. And so in 2010, give me your suggestions, and maybe we can come up with some things, ways to do this. Because once you come up with a plan, the only next step is to implement it and watch it grow and watch it go. And there's a lot of people out there waiting, and time is getting short. They can't wait too much longer. So, let's do the Elenu.
Hallelujah.